And we are here for episode 20 of the Fundamentally Sound podcast. Pretty crazy that we're already 20 episodes in. Feels like yesterday I was at a bar with Carl and Dave drinking for the NCAA tournament. And, you know, I was like, hey, you guys know anyone that might want to start a podcast? And I'm connected with Riggs, and here we are 20 episodes later.
You know what's ironic? You know where I was when you first DM'd me and then started texting me?
What would be ironic? That I texted you. You're probably watching Kentucky somewhere.
No, because they played on Sunday. It was Saturday of the first week of the NCAA tournament.
I don't know.
I was at Queen City Exchange.
No way.
Yeah, we watched the Xavier game there. Along with other stuff, but obviously went out for the Xavier game there. Yeah.
Who did Xavier beat? Is that when they beat Arizona that day?
Florida State.
Florida State?
Yeah. That was that game. That was Iowa State. Purdue was that night.
Northwestern was on, I think.
They were an earlier game. Yeah, they were.
They were earlier because I remember I was there because Dave is a huge Cat guy.
Yeah, they were on when we got down to the bar.
And that was Wisconsin. That was Wisconsin.
They were the first game. Yeah, they were the noon game, or the 2 o'clock game. But yeah. So ironically enough, our live show is where I was at when you reached out about doing a podcast.
It's crazy. 20 episodes.
Sure enough, we'll both be drunk there too.
Yes. And
it's only fitting.
No matter what the stock prices are, I think we're gonna end up.
Right.
Cool.
Episode 20 though.
Episode 20. We're finally into some numbers now where there's basketball players.
We're back to basketball number. We're back to a basketball number.
And there will be college basketball players.
It's
to choose from.
It's not the worst number 20 basketball players or number. But it's probably the second worst out of the five. 25 is probably the worst when you're talking 20 to 25.
Yeah. No, I agree. I don't know. 20's not that bad.
No, I think if you're in the 20s.
I think 20 through 24 is good. 25 is just kind of irrelevant because it's close to 26.
I'm just not a big zero fan.
I like zero.
I hate it. I hate when players wear zero.
Like in any part of their jersey?
No. I hate when players just wear zero or double zero. Remember my buddy wore number zero and I was just like, I hate you.
I think if a walk-on were double zero, I would respect the hell out of that.
Yeah, because that'd be he would be doing it to kind of troll people, and I'm there for that.
Yeah, he'd have to wear goggles or something too.
Oh, for sure. That's what we should get Joey to know. We need to get Joey to go with the goggles.
Yeah, so then he can actually have some three goggles.
So before we get to Joey, number 20s. Who's your number 20?
Lots to choose from, and again, we said at this point, let's just do anybody. It could be NBA, it could be ABA for all I care. It could be your middle school jersey if you wore number 20, which I think I might have. Hope I did. Just
you
to make
like
you
20.
I look like a 20.
You look like
thanks.
You could wear a 20.
Thanks. I've been a 1 through and through since 6th grade. Just cuz I'm that arrogant kid.
I like 1 though. I like the number 1.
Yeah, you got to have some cockiness to wear. The most, man, I want to say Manu, but I'm just because I love this game so much for what it could have been if he hit it. The number 20 that will live in forever in CBS highlight reels, which it wasn't really a highlight, but it will still make highlights when Gordon Hayward, number 20 from Butler, shot that half court shot and all of America was hoping it was going to go in. Because it was against Duke.
I stayed away from Ginobili because I thought that's who you were going to go with.
Yeah, you knew I would. But then as I thought about it, and we're back with some college basketball numbers. So I'll pick 2 today. 20 is Manu just because.
This is the Manu Ginobili episode.
It's the Manu Ginobili episode. Since we're back with college basketball numbers, I had to throw in the Hayward was number 20. And he almost had the greatest shot of all time.
So I'm going to kind of tie the number 20 I was going with originally is Allen Houston because I loved Allen Houston. As a Knicks fan, he hit that runner against the Heat in the game 5 of the playoffs and kind of did that little hop afterward. I remember had a portable TV, like, you know, we had one of those little, like, handheld portable TVs back in, like, the 90s, and I was at, like, a picnic or something, and I sat in my parents' car and watched it, and then I finally went back inside. But to tie this in to kind of what we talk about with our guests that we have coming on here with an interview, an underappreciated player, and I know we have a lot of Wisconsin and Kentucky fans that listen to this, underappreciated Kentucky player, Daron Lamb, who's also phenomenal on social media. One of the best shooters I've ever seen. Like, he had one of the strokes where whenever he was somewhat open, and the, like, you just expected the shot.
You just expect it to go in because he's got that smooth stroke, and you don't know how he ever misses, ever.
Right, and it was just one of those, I'm like, he shot like 46% from the three-point line. Something absurd. He was in the mid-40s. So it's just like, man, it's just one of those shots where it was just underappreciated, which segues into who we talk about a little bit with the guest that we have coming up in this interview, Joey Lane, current player for Ohio State, was a walk-on as a freshman, received scholarship as a sophomore, and he'll tell it better than us, but as he says, if you're a walk-on, you're a walk-on for life, which I thought was kind of cool. So without further ado, this is the interview with current Ohio State basketball player Joey Lane, talking about everything from coaching changes, life as a walk-on, Ohio State basketball, and more. So here you go. And then we will be back afterwards with some more stuff for you guys. All right, everyone. And now that we kind of talked about earlier, we got Joey Lane from Ohio State. You may see him on Twitter. You may have seen him in a YouTube video? Or was it was kind of blasted out over a couple places?
Yeah, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter.
With legendary impersonator Brandon Armstrong. He's a walk-on, member of walk-on fraternity, one of my favorite fraternities that somehow I'm like a part of. Like I'm in on the Twitter with walk-on fraternities. I shout out my guy Todd from Kentucky for that one. So, Joey, man, what's going on?
Nothing too much. Thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Yeah, man. So, it's been a hectic summer for you. And the program. So, obviously, people hear Ohio State, they think a couple things. They typically think Thad Matta and football. One of those things is still there. That's football. How weird is it going to a school where, and Ben, you can kind of answer this too. I don't think me and you ever really discussed this. How weird is it going to school where the first thing people think of is not your sport, even though you're playing one of the two biggest sports in America?
You know, growing up, I was a huge Ohio State fan, so I always knew of it as a football
fuck
school.
Fuck you for that. I grew up. I still hate Ohio State. I grew up hating Ohio State.
Nobody likes Ohio State
and the entire Big Ten.
Well, my mom was from Toledo. 100% born a Buckeye, even though I lived in the Chicagoland area, always was a Buckeye. Always got shit for it too, but always was a Buckeye. So I always knew it was a football.
Illinois fans?
I mean, my cousins all went to Illinois, okay. But on my dad's side. But Illinois fans, that's a whole other story. It's okay. I'm not scared of them. But yeah. So I knew it as a football. I mean, I like the Bears, but like Ohio State was like my football team. You know. So, being the basketball guy, I still followed the basketball. So, when I came in, I was like, yeah, like, okay, like, yeah, football school, but they still love their basketball. We've been successful. And then I go to a football game, and there's 100,000 screaming fans every single game, whether we're playing Bowling Green or we're playing Michigan. But you go to a basketball game, and it doesn't quite translate.
Yeah, no, I hear you there. So, I was just in Madison over the weekend, Joey, and I drove by Camp Randall Stadium, and the feeling that it gave me was actually like a better feeling than I actually remember almost being in a basketball game, which is, it's crazy. You can't replicate the feeling that it gives you. And Reeks has no idea what that feels like.
Sure, I do.
Because
it's called going by Rupp Arena.
Yeah,
it's
but
the complete
but
opposite.
No, it's different still, though. It's so different. Getting those goosebumps going by Rupp Arena for basketball and thinking about what a tailgate and a good football season and everything that comes with the tradition of a Saturday football game at your school if you have a good program, which you don't, it's amazing. You can't even describe.
Hey, we're not bad.
And to have the program that we have on the basketball side, the Wisconsin fans are completely spoiled. And I could just keep anding all day long here. And head coach Tony Granato of the hockey team is now the U.S. men's Olympic coach. So we're raking everywhere we can at Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely different at Kentucky, but tailgates at Kentucky are it's still SEC football. So tailgates are still ridiculous. You know,
people
camp out night before, all that good stuff. But it's different because
tailgates in the SEC are different than tailgates in the Midwest, because we just get smashed and just drink beer starting at 7 a.m. And you guys have to, like, do your hair and put on your khakis, make sure you look good for the game. It's so stupid.
I would wear.
I'll forget the dressing up. We'll never understand that.
I was not a dress up guy. Like, I was just, I'd throw on a pair of jeans, like my Kentucky polo and my Kentucky hat.
Well, jeans and a polo to me is dressing up.
Yeah, dude, that's ridiculous.
It was just the same thing every game.
Yeah, you're missing out. You got to come to a football game with me. I'll show you a real experience.
I do want to get up to Wisconsin. I've never been to Wisconsin. Me and you've talked about that.
It's happening, but we'll keep the focus on Joey here.
Yeah.
No. I mean, just like I went to a spring game. Actually, that's when I committed. It was at a spring game, but okay. I went. They had 100,000 people at a spring game to watch them practice. I mean, it's just different. I mean, we're the best team in the country every single year, arguably. You know, for football.
No.
Something.
No, Alabama is.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, that's fair. We're the best team in the Midwest, in the Big Ten, every year. And
No, Jim Harbaugh is now.
Well, come on. That's not even – I mean, like, he hasn't beat us yet. So until he beats us, I mean, then we can have a conversation.
You're definitely coming on here with some strong takes.
I'm an Ohio State guy. I'm a Buckeye. I can't help it. We're a little delusional.
Yeah, clearly. You know?
But yeah, I mean, like you know, like I came the year after we won the national championship, so that season was incredible. Like we were preseason number one, we were number one for a good part of the year. That was when Ezekiel Elliott had just run for 2,400 yards the year before, and I went to the game where they unveiled the championship banner. I mean, it's a football school, and it's weird, but you know. We have the greatest fans. They are primarily for football, but we get the trickle down for basketball for sure.
Yeah, you definitely do for a little bit. I mean, the times I played, what's your arena called again? I'm gonna know it when you say
Center.
Schottenheim.
Schottenstein.
Schottenstein. Same thing.
Not the old coach of the Broncos. Yeah.
Wasn't it like First Value or Value First at one point?
It's Value City Arena in the Schottenstein Center.
That's right.
Yep.
It's a tongue twister. But anyway, I actually was really not overly impressed with the atmosphere when I was there playing against Ohio State. And, like, there were some big games that we played against you guys there. I don't know. Just the arena wasn't, like, a very college feel.
The problem is it's an NBA arena. It holds 19,000 people. That's the problem.
The Kohl Center holds 18,000, but that at times can get a little dry because we got such an old crowd. I mean, one of the things that I'd like to fix is getting some tradition where obviously Wisconsin football has jump around. People go to football games sometimes just for jump around. I don't blame them. I think Wisconsin basketball and even like a school like Ohio State basketball, they need to find something to bring energy into the game. So that it becomes something that people want to go to, not just for the big game, but just to go to the game so they can enjoy something happen like that. But it is tougher because, you know, football, you get like four or five home games, so it's easy to get ramped up. I mean, you got 20 to 22 home basketball games, and one's on a Tuesday, and then a bunch are during finals in the winter. It's hard when people or students are gone. The Big Ten schools, like Purdue, though, I don't care when it is. That place is loud and fun to play in and rocking.
Nothing else to do in West Lafayette.
That's true, but all I'm saying is students or no students, it's going to be loud.
Yeah, well, the only other thing to do is drive to Indianapolis. West Lafayette, you go to a Purdue basketball game or you drive to Indianapolis or Chicago.
So have you been?
I've been through. I stopped once, and I was just like, this place sucks.
Yeah, arguably the worst place to travel to in the Big Ten.
I always say the worst college towns that I've been to and that I assume translate, like out of the power schools, Mississippi State was a dump. I hated Starkville. West Lafayette is a dump.
Starkville and West Lafayette. I mean, just listen to the names.
And then I remember, like, James Frischilla, like, when I was talking to him about it, he threw out that Texas Tech was just one of those trips where you just dreaded going to because it's West or Lubbock, Texas, middle of nowhere. West Lafayette has to be the worst college town in the Big Ten.
Oh, by far.
Was Purdue your favorite place to play at then?
Purdue and Indiana, because that state and those Hicks are just nuts.
Well, I don't like to say it was my favorite place to play at because I didn't play, but my favorite atmosphere, definitely Purdue.
Yeah, Purdue for sure. No, I remember. State. Yes.
Really?
Michigan State. I went on Denzel Valentine's senior night. Ooh. That was the best atmosphere, period. Right. But I'll take Purdue consistently over Michigan State. Over that wrestling. One atmosphere, though, that was unreal. That was unreal.
What do you think of Michigan's atmosphere? Because they're one that should be good, and you've seen them be good, but
and they have a good setup on like on where the students are. Yep. But it still doesn't do the job for some reason.
I could just take shots at Michigan, and it's just average. I mean, it really is. Ohio State is average, but like I just don't like their fans. Their fans are just like not from an unbiased perspective. I just think their fans don't get into it as much as other fans do because right. I'm used to hearing.
You basically just said from my biased, unbiased perspective.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me say this.
No. I know. No matter what you say, it's going to come off that way. I'm just giving you some shit.
But everywhere I go, people yell shit at me, right? Mm-hmm. At Michigan, they weren't. I don't know why. You think at Michigan?
You should. Yeah, that'd be right. The one where they are the biggest dicks to you.
Yeah. No, and I wasn't even suiting up that game. I had a concussion as a walk-on. I had a concussion. Like, you got to say some stuff to me.
What's the...
You're the easy target.
What is the meanest place you played at?
Nebraska, hands down. Not even close.
Yeah, actually, I agree with that. I remember when I was playing, like I had a guy sitting in courtside who was, like, talking shit to me. Like, you know, normally people sitting courtside are, like, you know, they're classy. They got clients. They're having a beer. This guy was just like some hammered tractor guy, like just reaming
that's
me.
Because Nebraska puts football fans in basketball. Like they don't know good basketball in Nebraska, unless they go to
Creighton.
No. Like Nebraska's never been good at basketball. Ohio State's been good at basketball. Wisconsin's been good at basketball. Other Big Ten schools have been good at basketball. Nebraska's always just kind of sucked or been average. Mm-hmm. So it's just football fans being like, "Well, we need something to hold us over until spring game."
To be fair, that was one of the best atmospheres I'd played in. It was pretty fun because they were trying to get in the tournament. It was Teran Petway's junior year. It was a trap game for us. I think I've talked about this on the show before, but that's a fun place. What did you think of the Kohl Center?
I really, really like it there. And they were on me, which is great, and I love that. Because my whole thing is I wear a towel around my neck, right? Like, that's how, like, it started because I wanted my family members to be able to see me on TV. And so, and then I just ran with it. And they were saying, I mean, I don't want to use profanity, but why the, do you have that towel around your neck? You're not going to play. Go wipe up the floor. I mean, yeah, the list goes on and on and on. And I love that. Love that. And that's what I live for.
I mean, you're there. With the towel around your neck, so you can be the whipping boy.
Right. I'm asking for it. Oh, yeah.
So you kind of alluded to this now. Obviously, being a walk-on is different. I mean, you're still a Division I basketball player, but it's different than the starting five, the scholarship players, the high recruits.
Well, let me say this.
How do you life as a walk-on?
Yes. So, first of all, I'm on scholarship.
Okay, you are.
So I was a walk-on my freshman year, put on scholarship for my sophomore year.
Okay. I thought you were on scholarship, or you were on still walk-on last year.
So once a walk-on, always a walk-on.
Oh, right.
Don't get me wrong. And I still, my role has not changed very much, except for now my tuition is paid for, which makes life a little bit easier to do the stuff that I do. But, yeah,
sure it does.
Life as a walk-on's hard. There's no – the only glory I get is on social media. I walk around campus, and the people don't know who I are. They think I'm a soccer player. They have no idea who I am.
What's it, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The biggest misconception, and I've been saying this for years, the biggest misconception about 90% of walk-ons are they are good high school basketball players. Like, they have a chance to play, whether it's high D2, low D1, mid D1. They decide to go to a big school like Ohio State, walk-on, because that's where they want to go, whatever the circumstances. Is it weird going from being, you know, a good high school player, playing all the time, to now being like, well, I'm only getting in when it's a blowout?
Yeah, it is so, so bizarre. The greatest example I can give you is last year in the Big Ten tournament, we lost to Rutgers.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I'm sitting at the end of the bench like...
Thank
like,
you. I did bet on Rutgers' money line that game.
Oh, man.
They had to win one, right?
I'm like, that brings back nightmares. Like that game is like no other game that I've ever experienced in my life. But sitting on the bench and knowing, like, wow, like, I'm not the best player on my team, and I still can't do anything about this game, and the guys on the court suck. Like we are playing our worst basketball of the year, and I can't help. That's the most frustrating thing about it. Like, in my mind, I think that I'm a Division I basketball player at the highest level. I think I can play in this game, and I don't get the opportunities. That's the most frustrating thing. But it's what I signed up for. I didn't go...
adjustment period? Like, when you first came on as a freshman, was there an adjustment period during the – and how long did it take? Or what switched from being like, all right, this isn't my role anymore. This is my new role.
I was fortunate enough to have a fifth-year senior walk-on on the team with me my freshman year. His name was Jake Lorbach, and without him, I might not be on the team anymore just because that's how rough the beginning was for me.
Right.
And
can I jump in here? I mean – I just want to know a little bit more specifically, because maybe my perception of walk-ons is based off only my experience at Wisconsin. I can't imagine that it could possibly be that bad. Can you get into a little bit more about what made it so bad?
What makes it so bad is it's hard to put into words, but you sometimes are just treated like lesser. That's all it is. I mean, like you're an afterthought. And in the nicest way possible, my staff did an unbelievable job, this current staff and the previous staff, at making me feel valuable. But when you don't feel valuable, it's kind of ridiculous. For example, I was a late addition. I didn't commit until the end of April. Ohio State didn't do recruited walk-ons before. So when I came, I didn't have a practice jersey, I didn't have any shoes, and I didn't have a locker tag. So that was frustrating. Like, I wanted to feel like I was a part of the team. I understood that.
You wanted to get that on social media so you could get the girls to see and everything. No, I mean, it's part of it.
Even my parents. Yeah. My parents say, hey, Mom, I'm having fun at college.
Mama, I made it.
Exactly. And so when I walk in, I'm like psyched to see Joey Lane, number 14. I've wanted to be an Ohio State Buckeye my whole life, and that's not up there. Boom. Check that off. Super frustrating. Something I didn't envision being frustrating.
I can see that being frustrating for sure. And again, Wisconsin, we usually keep four walk-ons each year. So like it's very systematic. Like there's definitely like its own Wisconsin walk-on fraternity in a way. But there's some of that stuff too. I mean, one of my roommates and one of my best friends, Dan Fahey. Do you know the name at all? He was a walk-on at Wisconsin from Chicago area. One time, Coach Ryan said, when we were doing a drill, he goes, Dan, we need that basket. Go over there and shoot free throws while we're all doing shooting drills, you know, like real shooting drills. Dan also, you know, dislocated his shoulder. And I wish my podcast listeners could see what I was doing on video, but Bo went like this, and he gave the just – get him off the court so we can keep practicing signal. Is that the lesser feeling that you're feeling?
That's the best story I can relate to that is one of my assistant coaches, won't name him, whenever I did a drill, even if I was doing it great, would say, Joey, this isn't Division III basketball. You're just a Division III basketball player. And he loved me, and we were so cool where it could have been joking, but it wasn't.
Yeah, here's why that hurts. I'll say, number one, it hurts just pride and ego. Number two, it gives free reins to your teammates to think it's acceptable to pick on you. So, yeah. I mean, it's part of the game. But I just, again, I didn't have a lot of this happen where we were. So I like hearing stories. I mean, feeling bad for you at the same time, but I do enjoy the stories.
Hey, if you can laugh at my expense, that's what I live for. But my teammates have voiced to me so many times that they're so grateful for me and what I do because they know I can play somewhere else. And at this point, I could play at another Division I school. But before it was you could be playing Division III, you could be playing Division II, and we love that you're here. And my teammates never made fun of me. They never made fun of me, which was amazing, which I didn't understand because I would have made fun of myself if I was in their shoes.
All right, so we're August 8th right now. This is a good transition into – this is what it's been like in the past. What's it like now? What's the future like for Joey? What's the future like for Ohio State? Give us an overview of summer and the program's direction. Are you buying into the Butler way?
Man, it is hard not to buy into it. Let's see.
Holtman can't be that loud, right?
Say that again?
Is Holtman loud? Like when you talk about the Butler way, he seems like just such a quiet guy.
He's not. He is. His voice is sharp.
Okay.
Not loud. Yeah. Sharp. Same with Coach Mata. It's the same way. But so quick timeline. Coach Mata gets fired in June. Yeah. I sit and cry for 2 days, and then Coach Holtman gets hired. And a very, very large sigh of relief came over my body.
Were you in on, or did the team have any idea that Holtman was a candidate?
They sat down our two seniors, we have three seniors, two of them sat down and had a conversation with our athletic director, Gene Smith, and he basically said, this is what we're looking for in a coach. Didn't give them direct candidates.
Here's 5-10 guys or whatever.
Right. No. So me and Kata Bates Diop basically FaceTime for two straight days talking about what we're hearing on social media, this, that. And by the time Holtman was hired, we were happy because we were super nervous. We didn't know what was going to happen, you know? And from there on, I love the staff. The players love the staff. The staff is very comfortable around us already. And for me personally, it was very nerve-wracking being a walk-on.
Right.
You know, I had no idea if I was going to lose my scholarship, if I was going to not have a spot, yada, yada, yada. The list goes on. And I got a call from Coach Holtman telling me how excited he was to have me on the team and that I was going to be on scholarship still. I mean, right there. He won me over right there, if you can imagine that.
Right.
So, I mean, that's got to be a pretty pretty relieving feeling. I would have celebrated with a couple Bud Lights and
I'm
out with my boys.
I'm 20 years old, so I had some grape soda.
There you go.
Very, very good, Joey.
Going back to when you said that, you know, they kind of, you know, your AD gave the two seniors a sense of direction. Did they, and if you could, obviously, what kind of coach were they looking for? Did they... Because it's tough to replace Mata. I mean, I think Thad Mata is one of the most underappreciated great coaches in recent memory. I mean, I don't know if I forget if I said it to you. I know I said it to a couple other people during the TBT run. It's like, hey, look, Thad Mata is really good at winning without NBA players.
Yeah, yeah, and everyone hated to see him go. I mean, there was not a person on the team or in Ohio State that was in our inner circle, I should say, that was excited. Like, yeah, yes,
it was weird last 2 years.
It was bizarre. I mean, the fact that and it was my 2 years that I was there, and it was just weird. The whole aura was weird. Everyone's like, something's up, something's different. I mean, right. It stunk, you know. But if in regards to the coach, what we were looking for, he, without getting into too much detail, it was an upstanding person, similar to Coach Mata in demeanor, and who wanted to play, who had a style of play that could fit the personnel that we had.
So it was they wanted a similar style, not...
They wanted a similar system, some way that we could stay relevant.
Okay.
And I'm sure you guys did not listen to the press conference, but...
I was on my I was in another country.
Yeah.
I was on my honeymoon when he got fired.
You didn't even know what happened for a while.
I know. I found out a couple hours after it happened. So in St. Lucia, they had ESPN, but it was like ESPN, not Deportes, but ESPN like Venezuela.
Yeah, sure.
And at the very end, I saw like NCAB, and it was like, you know, school fires or not fired, steps down after this many years. I'm like, well, who the hell is it? And there was no – I couldn't go back, of course, so I had to wait. Yeah. And the bottom line with this ESPN took so goddamn long that my wife was like sitting there, she's like, what are you doing? I was like, I got to wait to see what the hell happened because I didn't have phone – I never – my phone wasn't working or whatever.
Right.
So I found out, yeah, in another country. I was like, oh, son of a bitch. How do I find this out here? Like, they couldn't do it a week earlier?
No, I mean, crazy. Craziness. If you – I mean – oh my God! That meeting when he told us was something else. It was not fun.
Oh, I can't imagine. I can't imagine both sides. I couldn't imagine being Mata walking in saying this is the last time I'm in here, and being a player being like, "Well, shit, now what?" Yeah.
Yeah. Now what is the greatest way to describe what we were feeling? Now, like, what do we do? It was literally the first day of summer workouts. What do we do?
Yeah, no, because you know, college basketball is so scheduled. It's, you know, you have your set routines, and before you know it, when the leader's gone, all chaos breaks loose because you don't know what to do. Like, do I keep going to the workout? Am I gonna make the team? You know, what's next? What do I do? I don't know what to do when the captain of the ship is not leading the direction. You're completely lost. And fortunately for me, I obviously had a solid 4 years of none of that nonsense. I didn't have a coach leave, a staff member. The only staff members that left were video coordinators, and we always replaced them with really, really good people. But I did hear stories when Bo was stepping down in the winter. Like, I heard it wasn't the same. You know, it was a little bit weirder, and like, you just get that feeling, and that's probably what you felt those first 2 years. But here's the good news. I mean, this is year three now, right?
Correct. Yep.
Are you a redshirt sophomore or are you a junior?
I'm a junior.
So you're a junior. Big mistake. Should have redshirted.
Stay in college as long as you can.
Hey,
I say that to anybody, no matter what. So like, I know it's trust
love
me.
To have a fifth year of college, regardless of whether I play basketball.
Yeah. No, I totally exactly. get it.
You know what?
I totally
you do the
get
4 years
it.
Of basketball than the 1 year of just being a college kid. Just be like, yeah, I got to do it all.
Yeah, that'd be something else.
keep taking the minimum amount of credits just so you have to stay one more year, and then you can leave the student section.
Yeah. Oh man, go. I already do leave the student section. That's another.
That's what
story.
I'm saying. We could just make it a little more official.
Yeah. craziness is a great way to describe it. But as soon as they were brought in, structure was immediately put in, and we knew where we had to be, what we had to be doing, and what we need to get better at, which is the most important thing about the summer. And from the point he got hired until a week ago when we left campus, we had an idea of who we were going to be, what guys were going to be doing, and what we needed to do to be successful. And I think that's the greatest thing that they could have done, because we have a direction and leadership has been put in within the players and the staff, and we know what we're capable of, and we have goals, and we're excited about them.
How weird is it? You know, like we mentioned, the only way I can describe Ohio State the last couple of years is weird. It's just been a weird situation. How tough or weird is it to not continue using the word, though, is, you know, when – what was it? Two seasons ago where there was like five or six transfers as a
– all class.
Yeah.
My class.
Right. Oh, that's right. So, yeah, it was your class. I can remember if it was a year above you or your class. So, yeah. You know, what's that situation like? You know, you look around the room and you're like, well, shit, where'd everybody go?
It's weird because
– everyone had a different reason, I know, and everything.
Yeah. The greatest part about college basketball is that you make – your teammates are your best friends.
Right.
And the weirdest thing – well, for, I mean, the freshmen who left were three of those guys were my best friends. I mean, it's – so that – besides basketball was frustrating. And then the team itself, I mean, you can't get close to these guys because we don't know if they're leaving or not. No. You know, it's yeah. like a, It's like a girlfriend. Like, you don't want to keep going on dates with her. She's just going to leave. I mean, that's what it was like. I mean, we lost 7 or 8 guys in 2 years, and I'd say 5 of those guys are some of my best buddies. So, I mean, and they were good players. They helped us. Yeah, we needed them.
Your class was one of the – I think your class was like a top 15 recruiting class.
Yeah.
Top 20
I mean,
consensus or something like that.
Nine. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy. And then when the guys
whatever you said, you got to say it. We lost you for a good 5-10 seconds.
Oh, I said when the guys left this year, we had 2-3 guys transfer or go pro when they had more eligibility left. I was like, wow, I'm the backup point guard on Ohio State's basketball team, and I came here as a walk-on. And so
get to work.
Right. I know. Well, what stinks is that I had hernia surgery this summer. So I was out for more than half the summer. I'm finally 100% now. So I've been getting back into it. But like, yeah, I mean, like right now, if you look at the roster, you're like, wow, I'm the backup point guard. But realistically, like I'm not. So.
Well, you joined a good podcast to share your white guy limitations because that's what we are here.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of guards too. A bunch of white guards on this podcast.
Just a bunch of college backboard tapping layups.
So, but was it, you know, with all those transfers, was it talked about in the locker room at all? Like after it happened, being like, listen, this is, you know, did a senior or an upperclassman kind of be like, listen, this is the shit we have now. This is who we're rolling with the rest of the year.
There were 3 major talks, I would say. One of them was after my freshman year, Coach Mata sat us down in the locker room and said, I know this locker room is not going to be the same next year. If you want to go, we don't want you here. We want the guys who want to be here.
Yeah, and I remember that when he kind of said that at, what, a golf outing too or something like that.
Right, right. So that was public. It ended up being public comments.
Right.
He said that when we came back in the summer the next year, he said, listen, this is a no BS year coming up. I'm going to do things my way. If you don't like it, you can leave. That was that. And then after this year, before he was fired, he said, I love you guys. I love who we have. We're going to be great with this team. I don't care if we have 8 guys, if we have 15 guys, we're going to be great. Whether you guys want it or not, it's going to happen. Hmm. And those 3 messages, I was never scared for Ohio State basketball because Coach Mata is, in my opinion, he's the most underrated coach like ever in college basketball.
He's up.
So, I mean, no one talks about him. I mean, but I wasn't worried because the staff and him, they got it done no matter what it was. I mean, my freshman year, we won 21 games with no seniors, you know, and the only team that does that is Kentucky and Duke, you know?
Yeah,
so
I was at that game when you beat Kentucky in New York.
Heck of a game. I got a bloody nose on the bench that game. How about that? Without playing.
I was sitting in the middle of the Ohio State section.
That's my favorite game.
You and all your people.
In Ohio State history, yeah, you and all your people.
I was sitting in the middle of them. There was me and two of my buddies in blue Kentucky stuff in the middle of all the Ohio State guys.
I was so scared when the whole crowd was chanting "Go Big Blue." It was like someone was in my head screaming it. Like when you guys came back,
dude, I would get scared too. Those people scare me, dude.
When Poitras hit that 3, I literally was like hearing echoes of "Go Big Blue" without anyone even saying it.
Yeah,
it was insane.
That was a yeah. Cause I remember that was a game that was like, all right, maybe this Ohio State team's not bad.
Yeah,
and then it just went up and down all year. But yeah. So I want to get away from that. You did a shoot with Brandon Armstrong. Everyone knows him. He does all the impressions. How did that come about?
So I worked for a sports agency this summer, Hate Brand Sports. And Evan Turner is very close with the brand Hate Brand. So we went to Columbus to help him. He had a pop-up shop. He invested in a brand called Madison Pulaski. We went to help with the pop-up shop. Brandon Armstrong happened to be in Columbus. So Evan B. Dot linked up, said, hey, have a meet and greet at my shop, you know, get more foot traffic, get more people in the door. I approached Brandon. I say, hey man, I love your videos. He had also come to play pickup at Ohio State the day before. So knew him from that. Also, I said, hey man, it's Joey. Well, I saw you yesterday. I have a great idea. tell me if I'm crazy. Let's do a walk-ons be like video. And he said, I love it. And we shot it the next day.
I saw it getting play all over Twitter. And I'm sure I saw the links, but I just saw it on Twitter. I think I saw it with you first and then throughout people blasting it out and whatnot.
So, I mean, I'm a huge Twitter guy. And when he told me that, I got so excited because going back to the glory that I get is all from social media.
Right, right.
I was thrilled. And I knew that, like that's the kind of guy I am. Like, I'm stupid, funny, creative, that kind of way. So to be able to show that to the masses was so exciting for me. I mean, like, and he's a pro's pro. He's unreal. And it was so much fun to make with him. Probably one of the funniest guys I've ever met, too. I mean, it was really, really easy. And it was all my input. He just ran with it. He was like, whatever.
You're
the
director, man.
Right, he's like, you know it better than I do. You know,
he's
better
the talent. He's the talent. You're the mastermind.
Yeah, so it was really fun, and he's a great guy, great, great guy.
Well, that's awesome. Well, hey man, want to thank you for coming on. Obviously, you know, awesome talk. Thank you for being honestly candid about the walk on and the Ohio State situation. Obviously, best of luck with the hernia surgery coming back. And heading into this year, where can everyone find you so you can continue your social media glory?
You can follow me on Twitter at JoeySmoke11. My nickname is Smoke. If you want to call me Smoke, feel free. On Instagram, JoeyLane_14. And my Snapchat is public. So if you want to add me on Snapchat, it's JoeyLane11.
Dangerous. Dangerous.
Well, not dangerous. Very PG.
All right, that's smart. But still, you're a college kid. It's always dangerous when you're in college.
This is dangerous. The next thing you know, it's PG to R or X.
No, okay, so maybe don't add me on Snapchat, but you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram.
I want you to stay eligible, man. You're on scholarship now. Don't do anything stupid. Go make that private right now.
No, all right, man. Thanks a lot again for coming on.
Before I go, let me just say this episode better be dedicated to Greg Oden, the best number 20 in college basketball history.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. All right.
Glad you got that in
there. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks, Joey. All right. And that was our interview with Joey Lane, again, current Ohio State basketball player. Man, I thought that was awesome. I thought he was really candid. I thought it was interesting to hear him talk about the kind of the struggle mentally of being a walk-on and then being a scholarship player, but no, you're still not getting run like he talked about during the Rutgers game where, you know, hey, I'm a good basketball player, but I just can't do anything to help my team right now.
Yeah, that's definitely a helpless feeling. I think he did a really good job of – being candid, and also, you know, he knows he's got to wash himself.
Right.
You know, this is a podcast. Like, people do listen. If he says something stupid, it's going to get out there. I mean, like, that's just the way it is. So I appreciate his candidness and his willingness to share what it was like in that locker room when the shitstorm came and they had everyone leave. And
everyone
it was weird. And it was weird that, you know, that, just that and all that was going on. It just – I can't even imagine. It probably felt like the life was just being sucked out of his soul.
Yeah, I mean –
especially for a kid who grew up loving that university so much.
Right,
and he thinks he's living his dream, but it's almost like a nightmare in reality.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool to hear some of that stuff. Obviously, wish him the best with hernia surgery, getting ready – or coming back from hernia surgery as he gets ready for the new season. I'm probably gonna have to get up. You know what we should do? If Wisconsin plays at Ohio State this year, we may have to. If it's a Saturday.
Yeah, we got a lot of scheduling.
I know. I'm just saying.
I just want to make sure it makes sense. Who knows? Maybe it's. I don't know. Maybe it's a Saturday.
We can do a live podcast
at Wisconsin too.
We can do a live podcast with Joey from the bench during the game.
Give an earpiece. It's kind of like we're mic'd up.
Yeah. Come on. That would sell. Sponsors. That would sell.
That would be pretty epic. if we could get the NCAA compliance to pass it, which would never happen.
I'll fight the NCAA. My goal in life is to do two things. Well, I guess
take down Emmerich.
I guess I should make like my wife and family, future family, happy. But my two things I'm really dead set on doing: one, throwing James Dolan away from the Knicks, and two, replacing Mark Emmert.
And three, doing our mic'd up on a college basketball. That is a great idea. Trademark that. Like, we need to like cover our bases because we've had a lot of stupid ideas.
And we're
like,
also,
hey, we're big baller brand people. Like, ha ha ha. Oh, hey, let's break LeBron's story when he leaves Cleveland, and you'll cite Barstool. Ha ha ha. But this is actually an idea where I'm like, this would be pretty freaking sweet.
I think
we can do it. Why couldn't we do it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why it'd be an NCAA compliance issue. It's more as a school compliance issue.
Like, yeah,
we're not doing anything illegal. We're not paying them. Although I'd love to be a dirty booster still.
Is that a goal in life too, to make enough money to be feeding Big Blue Nation players money?
Yeah, so my cousin is a pretty big high school basketball coach in Jersey, and his brother, who I'm very close with, and me always joke around to him that we just want to be the boosters to like just
the ones that are cited.
Yeah, like we want to be like Nevin Shapiro, the dude from Miami.
Yeah, I want to be. I don't want to be a booster. I want to be one of those people asking for money, like Cam Newton's father.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
I want to be a family member that's, you know, running the money around.
Yeah, yeah. We definitely need to we need to start scouting like 5-year-old like, you know, YMCA leagues to see who we think's gonna be good, and then just
LeBron.
Like be their recruiting mentors.
Well, I'll tell you where to start. Just go watch LeBron's kids.
Yeah, something tells me he's got a couple of recruiting mentors already.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Yeah, so I thought that was cool. Going back to Joey, obviously life is a little different as a walk-on, like he mentioned, compared to what you experienced as a scholarship player from the get-go and someone actively recruited. So I thought it was a good change of pace. Again, thanks to Joey for coming on. Make sure you follow him. That'll be on our Twitter account and everything, and check it out. I love my walk-on guys. Like I mentioned, I've talked to a couple of them now. I'm a proud associate member of walk-on fraternity. And, you know, like I said, and like he talked about, it's a weird spot to be a walk-on where you're, again, the misconception is that they aren't good players. They're all good players. They all could be playing at a lower level, whether it's lower D1 or, you know, D2, D3. So, shout out again to Joey. So getting back into Fundamentally Sound, me and you, we're going to disagree on something. It's going to be the teams. I was really bored yesterday. This is on Tuesday, so on Monday. I was really bored, and I do this all the time. I've done this the last couple years. Put out random, you have $15, and you have to make up a team that you see as the best team. Now, the way I do it is I don't do it by guard, you know, point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center. It's just pick the five that you want to run with and that you think are the best group.
I got five. I got a funny five.
So
I got such a Ben five.
Yeah, which I think our teams will be. Our listeners should be able to guess who we're kind of coming up with. So I want to run through it really, really quick. Of the names that were on the options. So for $5, there was Michael Porter Jr., DeAndre Ayton, Miles Bridges, Mo Bamba, Jalen Brunson, Alonzo Trier, Bonzi Colson, Robert Williams, and Landry Shamet. $4 were Trevion Blewett, Ethan Happ, Devontae Graham, Javon Carter, Joel Berry, Colin Sexton, Grayson Allen, Bruce Brown, Angel Delgado. $3 were Trayvon Duvall, Raleigh Alkins, Jock Landale, Kevin Knox, Hamidou Diallo, Wendell Carter, Reed Travis, Mike Daum, Brian Crawford. $2, Jonte Mayton, Dangadel, Chemi Metu, Jalen Adams, Rob Gray, Mo Wagner, Vince Edwards, Jaren Jackson, Marcus Foster, and $1 was Matt Farrell, Tyus Battle, Kellen Martin, Jacob Evans, Ben Lammers, Shake Milton, Lonnie Walker, Nate Mason, Benny Boatwright, and Troy Brown. Just where they're listed in order of the dollars means nothing. I know, like, people are mad, like, why do you have Michael Porter Jr. number one in the $5 options? It's like, because he's the first name that came to mind that I wrote down.
They're all worth $5, buddy.
Yeah, so.
Go ahead.
Before we get to
you teams, just read all your names.
Before we get to teams, I want to ask you, did anything stick out, or do you disagree with where I put anybody? Like
I mean,
severely
anybody,
disagree.
No, I mean, like, it's fine. It was good enough for me where I was like, I can make a team out of this, and I don't care. Like, I don't care that much. I'm not one of those nitpicky people. How could you have him at four and that he's like worth two? That's all. That's gonna be everyone's gonna do that because
of course they got some of that.
They probably got, you know, watched one guy play and like, he stinks. How is he worth four?
Or it's because they're mad that the player on their team is not
on
their
rival
team. My least favorite thing: people were tagging players like on the list, being like, "You have to prove them. You're not a $1 player." I'm like, "What? Prove that he's not a top 40 player in the nation?
You gotta prove you're worth more than a dollar, homie."
Right. I'm like, listen, if somebody wants to use this as like bulletin board material, go ahead. Just like put my like Twitter name on there so I get some more followers or something.
Yeah. Give me all the publicity you want.
Right.
We're calling this kid a top 40 player.
Right. Like, again, this is in the nation. So, all right, let's get into it. Who was your team?
My team is a mixture of seniority, athleticism, and a glue guy. All right?
Okay.
I went with three $4 choices.
Interesting. All right.
Ethan Happ. He's my, like, glue guy. He's good on defense, gets steals. He's going to rebound. He's going to be pretty efficient. I got Blewett just because I like him, man. I like him. He's a gamer. He's just a baller, and he's got that experience. Then I went with somebody who's young, and I needed a little bit of a young spark. So with Connor Sexton.
Yeah, I love Colin. Colin Sexton might be, like, my second favorite player in this class.
I watched him in the McDonald's All-American game, and I just was like, all right, this guy can ball. I don't know why he's going to Alabama, but he can ball.
Yeah, he's really, really good.
And then this one kind of pained me a little bit because then it gets tougher. The twos and the ones,
yeah,
it got tougher.
Now you're limited to just these two options.
And so, again, this one pained me a little bit, and he's inconsistent at times, and he's a Minnesota guy. But I went with Nate Mason.
You went with Mason, okay.
Yeah. And then guess who my $2 one was.
All right, so – right off the bat, I'm going
to – Based off my team.
You have Happ as your big, so you're not going to run another big, obviously. So that I can rule out a couple.
I needed some length still.
I'm guessing you went with – did you go with Mo?
No.
Okay. Did you go with Dang Adele?
I did, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Because he fitted a need that I didn't have on my team yet.
Yeah, because you want to run Blewett as your four, is my guess with that.
Like, correct.
You want to be the small ball. He runs Fort Xavier.
Exactly.
Adele brings that good size. Yeah, that makes sense. I like
my team. I want to coach these guys right now. I feel like an interesting team. I feel like I just drafted a team that I can like go coach them.
So you said you have. Again, so you have Happ, Sexton, Blewett, Mason, and Adele. Yeah. I like that because you have Mason at your point, Sexton as your backup point slash your one of your
scoring combo card, wing type guy.
Blewett and Adele as your wings, and then you have Happ inside. I like that team. That's not a bad team.
Thank you. I'm proud of it.
I'm. You know what? You impressed me. I did not think you were. I thought you were going to go something I hated.
Which is what?
I don't know. I just thought you were going to go with like a team I was just like, that doesn't make any sense.
Something that you just wanted to argue. And I knew you would actually like this team because it was put together in a college basketball mindset.
Right. So
not just like, oh, Michael Porter Jr., I got to take him, even though I love what I've seen.
Oh, for sure.
But this isn't what we were making. We're making the best team possible.
So I went with something similar where I have a mix
of... Do you have any of the same players?
We have zero of the same players.
Interesting.
Which, this is why, before I get to my team, a lot of people ask me, why did you not just put five people per each one? Well, it gives people, like, there's just more variance now. Like,
yeah, because now everyone's team isn't going to be the same.
Right, because I've done this
everyone's
before.
Team, if you do, like, four guys at each dollar amount, you end up having too many similar teams.
Because when I did my very first one a couple years ago, I did it, like, point guard, and then I listed $5, $4, $3, $2, $1, and then threw it away. And everyone ended up taking, like, where the steal was because one position was loaded, and then you take someone else. And it just didn't work out as well as I hoped. So I did the same thing as you. I kind of have a mix of grades in terms of freshmen to seniors. I also did what you did. I don't have two bigs. So I also
it's a changing game. We talk about this all the time.
I looked for a team that I could really spread the floor, shoot with rim protection, and then run. So I went with two $5 players, a $1 player, $1 players.
Two $2 players.
No, I went with two $1 players, a $3 player, and two fives.
Okay.
So, who do you think are my two $5 players?
Let me pull up the list real quick. It'll be 2 seconds. I feel like you took Bridges.
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
I know he was one of them that I saw on the $5. Bridges, and that's your big. Or do you have him as a wing almost?
You'll see.
Barstool Riggs, there you are.
Oh, I listed my team on Twitter, so you probably see it.
Well, no, I'm just going to go to the list.
Okay.
Hopefully I can do that without looking at your team.
Here's who else is on the $5 team. It's Porter Jr., Ayton, Bamba, Brunson, Trier, Colson, Robert Williams, and Shamet.
Hmm.
So I took Bridges.
So say it again. You took Bridges, Porter Jr.
No, left out of the $5. I ended up taking...
Oh, got it.
I took Jalen Brunson as my other
$5. You took Brunson. Yeah, you love Brunson.
I do. I took Shake Milton.
Which again, I like that pick for creating our best college hoops team.
Right,
I think that's
right.
A smart pick.
Veteran
leadership and an athletic freak so far.
And then I took Shake Milton, 6'4 wing from SMU, shot 44% from the three-point line. Kevin Knox is the freshman coming into Kentucky. He's like 6'9 wing, can shoot the ball. Again,
Homer pick.
Decent defender. What, $3, I wanted another shooter, and I needed another wing, and he's really the only one that provided that out of that list. Like, he was my last pick. Like, I picked Brunson and Bridges, and then I went and took Shake Milton and Ben Lammers as my last guy because he's a really good defender, averaged, like, 3 blocks a game, and a good passer. Like, he's not going to step out and shoot the ball, but he can step out and make that pass.
I like my team better.
So, I like mine. So I like –
That's what Twitter polls are for.
So, but you're going to win the Wisconsin vote because you have Hap. But so I have Brunson, Milton.
Yeah, but you have a Kentucky player.
Yeah, I know, but more. I think more Wisconsin people follow our accounts. I have Brunson, Milton, Knox, Bridges, and Lammers. So again, same type of thing as you with Blewett and Bridges as like your four to kind of exploit mismatches, rim protector. And defender and Lammers and Hap is our big, which I thought was ironic. We both went that way with our bigs.
Yeah. Same type of player.
Yeah, and then Brunson, a point guard. Again, he's used to playing with really good shooters and spreading out. You know,
yeah, right now you're winning the point guard. Your point guard blows my point guard out of the water.
I win for sure the one and the four spot because Bridges is better than Blewett. You win the five spot because Hap is better than Lammers. And then wings are – we both have a freshman, so it's just a guess there. And then who you had Adele and Milton, who I think are comparable. So it'd be a close game. Like I think like the line in our game would be interesting.
I think I'm favored just because of experience.
How? I have a national champion.
Yeah, but he did that as a freshman with a loaded team around him.
he still started.
Loaded team.
They were good. He's good.
He's good, but I mean, he walked into a pretty nice situation. He didn't have to do anything special.
Did anything on my team surprise you?
I thought you would have more Kentucky players. And I thought you would have been a little more athletic.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of went with guys that could guard multiple positions more than the quote athlete. Obviously, Miles Bridges is a freak athletically.
He's worth two people.
Yeah. So I kind of went with guys that can, like, Milton can guard multiple people, Knox can guard multiple people, Bridges can guard multiple people, and then you have Brunson and Lammers. That was kind of my mentality there.
I like it. I like it for sure. Oh, man. So I'm going to shift because I obviously know my team's better, and it will be proven in a Twitter poll. But
we're always
going
to the Twitter polls until we get more non – if you're not a Wisconsin fan, follow us on Twitter.
Briggs needs help just to find out that it's not just because it's Wisconsin people. It's just because my takes are better.
That's false.
Stop dogging my Wisconsin people. I was just there this weekend.
I love the Wisconsin people. I'm just saying the polls skewed a little bit.
I love the poor people. You sound like Donald Trump.
I know. Well, Wisconsin is Russia.
I love – what did he say? I love the poor people. Yeah. He just says he loves every type of person. Yeah, and I love our hardworking people.
And Wisconsin's messing the polls, so they're Russia.
So I was in Wisconsin this weekend, and I had dinner with Bo Ryan.
You sure did.
I sure did, and we had a good time. We drank a lot.
As you
we said. Drank. It was a lot of fun. I'm gonna keep everything between us.
Yeah, I don't think Bo would want that out public.
No, I'm keeping the whole conversation between us. But I'll tell you what, we had a good time. And then, but what I can share from part of our conversation, very slim part, totally got his blessing for Bo's Bros.
Did he like the name?
Are you kidding? His smile lit up. He's missing the spotlight, man. Okay. He needs it. He needs it, and you know so. I have a good solid crew. I think I added Zach Morley to the mix, and maybe Mike Wilkinson. And I got to get in touch with Kirk Penny, Marcus Landry, and Orlando Tucker, which will happen.
So it's going to be, because I know in some alumni teams there
we're going to be Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's going to be a legit alumni team.
This is a legit alumni team.
That's good. That'll be fun. I'll have fun coaching you.
I'm the microwave. I'm off the bench.
Yeah, you're good for like the 4 minute run and then need the breather.
Oh, totally, dude. I give it my all, and I'm playing the summer league on Saturday, and I played really well, and I could really bitch about how much I hate playing with people who have their boys hollering at them from the stands. Yeah. And they go one on do the stupidest shit in the world. I'm so pissed about it still. Not even going to waste my time on it. Not worth my breath. That being said, like it was such a Ben game because I had to be because I played with such an idiot on my team. I was like cutting off the ball. I was, you know, 2 for 5 from three. So that's, you know, classic 40%.
Yep.
But what was weird is I had 2 and 1s. I don't think I had 2 and 1s my whole college career.
No, I mean,
you know what I mean? But like I got them because they were off cuts and back doors. And it was just classic Ben. And I got the itch, and I was like, I am making the right decision putting together a team just so I have to stay in shape and have to force myself to play, because when I do force myself to play, I have a really fun time. Despite
yeah, I mean, that typically
playing
is how
idiot.
It is. That's Despite typically how it is. Yeah. I mean, you're always – nowadays, you're always going to end up playing with someone dumb. Like, I've come to learn that where –
Well, that's why I want to put together the team, because it's going to be all old guys who want to play the right way. We're going to want to move the ball. We're
well,
not
you're all
gonna
playing
make
the same mistakes. System and everything like that.
Yeah, it's easy to just do our system because it's very simple, but you have to really know it.
Well, that – and it's always – what's it going to say? It's always – you guys have all played the same system. It's not like you're taking a guy who played for Illinois and a guy who played for Minnesota and a guy who played for, you know, Michigan and now throwing it with the rest of you.
Yeah, just a hodgepodge.
Right.
Midwest All-Stars, pretty much.
So what do you think? You think that wraps up episode 20?
Yeah, that's all I got. I won back-to-back-to-back-to-back 16-inch softball titles, so I was out till 1 o'clock on a Monday, so I'm tired.
I'm sure.
I'm ready for bed. That was a good episode, though. I had fun. Joey was a good interview.
Very good interview, yep.
Everyone, thanks for listening. Again, shout-out to Water Joe, who we'll be talking about here shortly in the future.
Shout-out to Tommy, our editor, and Matt, our social guy. Quick
shout out to Tony Cartagena, who helped us out.
Yep.
Thanks to everyone who's helped making it possible. Go follow us on Instagram, please. That would be helpful. I don't like that it's so low on the follow count. We need to do a better job, 100%. Just to get us started, we can't have it like the way it is today.
What we really need, though, we need to crack the top 200 again. In iTunes.
Yeah.
There's only one way to do that, and that's people subscribing and listening.
Subscribing, reviews, and listens.
Yep.
But to be fair, I'm proud of the listeners that we have. I have great interaction with everybody after our episodes.
Yeah, well, we have our solid crew. Like
we have our
Twitter fam.
If you're listening, we know you. I know you. We see you. We appreciate you. And then what will happen is when college basketball starts – and everyone's mind shifts to it, and everyone starts betting it, they're going to start listening, and they're going to like what they hear, and they're going to join you guys, and you can tell them you're here first. But
and maybe they could wear a T-shirt if they think that's a good idea.
Yeah, T-shirts are on my list. I'm going to give a shout-out to Carl and Dave again, just because, I lean on them for a lot. They over at Redline Radio, some good dudes. They helped me out with sponsor emails and – just little shit that I need to figure out. I'm actually going to throw Dave under the bus. Dave, I love you, but I'm so glad that Carl is organized.
For sure.
But that's our episode, Fundamentally Sound, episode 20. Barstool Riggs, Ben Brust, checking out.
Follow the show, Fundamentally SD.